Welcome to Comically Comics, your one-stop listen to all things comics. We're talking books, movies, TV shows, video games, and more. I must forewarn you, though, we are a spoiler cast, and what that means is we consider all properties, past, future, and present, to be valid, and we will spoil the hell out of them. I'm your host, Michael, along with my two co-hosts, Richard and Jeremy, and with all that being said, let's get started. All right, it is Sunday, June 14th, and we are back with some more Avengers Time Runs Out by Jonathan Hickman, and... Jeez, when he got to it, spoiler alert.
I think that's been the general consensus the whole way through this thing.
Well, I'm hoping that these next issues maybe change it just a smidge. Maybe not you, Jeremy, because I got some beef to talk about with one of these characters in here that's associated with you. Well, maybe you are associated with her. I don't know. Anyways. Yeah. Before we dive too deep, though, into this whole Time Runs Out story, I want to acknowledge an email that we got from Max Ferrata. I apologize, yeah, Max, if I mispronounced your last name. But he's the creator of Stellar Lands. We did a review of issue 1 and 2. He sent an email out saying that issue 3 is on Kickstarter right now, so... If you enjoyed those, or if you have no idea what we're talking about, go back, listen to those Stellar Lands reviews, and then go check them out on Kickstarter. See if you want to support an artist and a writer and awesome things. So, yeah. Back to Jonathan Hickman. Time Runs Out. We've got Avengers issue number 39, entitled You Can't Win Part 1. Quick synopsis. The Illuminati set a trap, and it's the War Machine Army versus the Hulk. That's pretty much this entire issue, really, in my opinion. But, Jeremy, what was your whelming of this issue?
I will say, like, I am whelmed, but to almost pleasantly, but only because, like, things are actually happening now. Like, we got to actual, like, fights and stuff now.
Yeah.
But not quite fully in there because everything that happened in this issue feels like it took as long as it did for me to read it, which was, like, 10 minutes. And, like, it just all happened real fast, and then we're done. And so, like, it wasn't, like, a lot of meat to the story in this one, but we at least... started doing things, so
yeah. It did span 2 issues, though. The fighting did span 2 issues.
Yeah, it did. But I mean, I still was like, it all happened really fast. So
I agree with that. Richard, what is your whelming?
I wrote I was whelmed because, like, while the fighting was fun and entertaining, it just wasn't enough. Like, kind of what Jeremy's saying. As soon as I was done, I was like, oh, that was it. Oh, okay. Moving on to the next issue, I guess. There was really only a few things that I kind of enjoyed in this issue, and that was about it. So I was still kind of whelmed.
Yeah. So my whelming, I was whelmed, pleasantly whelmed. I was excited to see the fighting. But Hickman had this, like, and I've only seen one other writer do this, and it bothers me. And so I'm not going to say that writer's name yet. But this idea of, like, we're going to sit there and we're going to tell a story while other shit is going on. And because at the same time while all this fighting is going on, we're reading a letter that Reed is sending to Valyria. And I'm like, I don't know that I like this whole, like, let's do 2 stories at one time, one visually and one with words. And I'm just like, I don't know that I like that.
Really? I like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was one of the things that kind of made me like this one a little bit more, because it just kind of gave a little bit more, like, anticipation of what's about to happen.
Yeah.
An understanding of what, kind of, a little bit of what, how Reed goes about his plans and stuff like that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I like those. The only one I don't think I kind of like is the Black Freighter from Watchmen. But I usually don't mind it, like, here, the way they did it. I thought that was fine. I especially liked it. The 3rd issue kind of does that as well with something, and I liked it. Gave you enough context to understand what exactly was going to happen later in the story. But anyway.
I got you. I don't think I like with the third issue that we're gonna be talking about. I don't think I mind so much being taken out of a story and moved into another one, mm-hmm. and then back. You know what I mean? I don't think I mind the back and forth like that. But like it's when I'm having to decipher like what someone's saying with the images that are on the page. That's when it's like, okay, I'm not smart enough for this shit is what it boils down to. So I need you, Hickman, to drop that knowledge down a little bit, that IQ.
I mean, they kind of put it in that weird speech bubble so you know that it's like the message, but...
Right, yeah.
Yeah, my biggest complaint, this is like the fucking main Avengers book, but the art, like, no offense to Deodato, but like, this art's terrible. Like, it looks so bad.
The fucking beast looks like a gorilla. Like, straight up looks like a gorilla through the whole book. And it's what are we doing?
That is... So, Beast has gone through, like, different mutations. There's the classic OG Beast, which just looked like a big, you know, hairy man. And then he eventually becomes Blue Beast, which is the one that, like, most of us know and most people know, which is the like, 90s Beast.
Yeah.
And then they gave him where he looked like a cat, which sucked, in my opinion. I hate cat Beast. And then he mutated into this version of Beast, which looks, it looks like a combination of the 90s and, like, a gorilla. And it, too, sucks, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I think this issue in particular, like the issues before, I didn't notice it. Mm-hmm. Like, he never was off-putting to me. But it's like this issue, I'm like, why the fuck is there a gorilla hanging out in the background? Like, I completely didn't even think it was Beast.
Yeah.
And then it was all of a sudden he was talking. I was like, oh, shit, that's Hank. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's horrible. That's horrible. Terrible.
Yeah, there's a lot of... There's a lot of art done by Deodato that I'm just like, this looks bad. Sorry, Jeremy, I'll talk about your girl. She got a fucking mullet in this. I mentioned it last time, but like, I know she's supposed to have the faux hawk, but that ain't a faux hawk. That's a fucking mullet. Like, that is a Joe Dirt mullet.
And the thing about it is, to me anyways, this wasn't even the worst artwork of the four.
No, it's not. No, like, it's not.
There's one that I think is the best out of all of them. But yeah, this isn't even the worst. And I was just, when I got to the worst, I was like, what the fuck am I looking at and why?
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree.
So speaking of Jeremy's girl here, Woo. Captain Marvel, I have to know, Jeremy, what did you think about Hulk going all like Chris Tucker and being like, you just got knocked the fuck out?
Well, yeah, I was like, oh, that sucks. I mean, she got kind of a little bit of a, I would say, sucker punch, but not much, because he's just like, you done now? Like, I was like, ooh. Yeah. Because whenever that happens, you're like, all right, well, that didn't go well. But yeah, like, I was rooting for her, but yeah, it's the Hulk. You're really not much you can do there.
Especially since she was talking shit before she even jumped out of the helicarrier.
Yeah, she was.
She said something like, I'm going to punch a Hulk or something like that. Or I'm going to knock a Hulk out or something. Something along those lines. I was like, ha, you got yours.
She is a very powerful part. Like, she's definitely a hard hitter. And her going up against the Hulk would be a cool fight. But again, like, when people argue about, like, so-and-so can beat so-and-so, it really just, like Stanley says, it depends on who's the writer. But I thought it was crazy where she flies down, starts beating on him, and then it's revealed that he's just laying back, like, almost enjoying it. And then he's just like, he's got his hands behind his head, and he's just like, are you done? And then he just fucking knocks her into the atmosphere. Like, into space.
I had to take a second look at it, the way that they did the art of it, like where she was like shooting off. I was like, wait a minute, what did they, like, shoot a rocket or something? But no, like, he just hit her that hard, she's just flying out of there.
Mm-hmm.
going gone, she's out of there.
Yeah. But like, speaking of the artwork too, I was just noticing like the way she's like the one where she's like flying into him, she looks like, I don't know, the way he has it drawn, it's like she's like her back is broken or something. Like, it's weird.
Oh, it's, yeah, just arched funny or what? I'm trying to get to it now.
It just looks odd. Like everything's straight. Yeah, it's just weird.
They do that a lot with women characters where they give them like this ridiculous arch back where it looks like their spine is broke. Yeah, or they'll do like where you can see like the breasts and the butt in the same shot and it looks like their spine is twisted in half or something. No, I agree. It does look odd. Hulk looks fine.
Yeah.
I thought the Hulk art looked fine. That was about probably the only art that looked good in this. Like, even Rhodey sitting in his weird VR war machine chair looks bad. It looks like it was rendered in 3D and then they like penciled and inked over that for the art book. It's just weird looking, like all the art in this book.
Yeah, very heavy shadowed as well. Uh-huh. Like, just there's no characteristics. It's just really dark. I thought it was cool, the War Machine Army, though. That's a cool idea to, like, almost have an Iron Legion style. Mm-hmm. Where everybody's a war machine as your army. So I think that's kind of cool. And you do it this kind of, I don't know, Avatar style where it's one person manning them. Although I could see that being confusing. Like, how do you man more than one? You know what I mean? Let alone, like, five or six at one time. Like, how does that even work?
Yeah. I have no earthly idea, but that's probably why he said it gave him a headache and a nosebleed.
Yeah. I know T'Challa has these knives he's wielding.
Uh-huh.
Are those vibranium with like the pink neons around them?
I think so. They don't outright say, but I'm pretty sure they're vibranium daggers.
Those look like truck stop knives.
Yeah.
Like you'd find those at a trucker stop. Like,
yeah. It's not, again, not great art. It's just bad.
There's a cool scene where, and I hadn't even thought about this before, but you see Beast and you see Mr. Fantastic both get hit by arrows from Clint. And I want to know where that arrow from Mr. Fantastic went, because it sure is like diving deep all the way through the back. That Joker's got to spring out and go somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, where is that thing going?
It should have gone back towards Clint.
Right?
I guess it wouldn't go directly back because aerodynamics-wise, the feathers are... It would be going, like, in a back... So it'd probably just, like, fall off somewhere now that I think about it, but...
Outside of that, for me, the end of the story was, this is the Avengers ordering you to stand down. And this is like Roberto, Sunspot, and his Avengers. And they're coming in talking to S.H.I.E.L.D. And my note was, Avengers to save the day? ? I would be worried because this roster just is not impressive at all.
Right.
Like, the only ones on here that are impressive are like Spider-Woman and and Black Widow. Like, outside of that, maybe Roberto is Sunspot. Maybe. But, like, no. None of these other ones.
But, Michael, they have an army of Shang-Chi.
They do. They do. And we get to see them for all of two panels in the next issue. Yeah. This entire fucking army of Shang-Chis fills up two panels, and that's it.
To be honest with you, good. Because, like... Again, I want to reiterate, this isn't the movie Shang-Chi where they give him the Ten Rings and he's got like uber power now. This is Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu. All so right. Like, he's just good at fighting. He doesn't shoot any energy. He's not even like Iron Fist where he like summons chi into his fist and does a powerful... He's really good at kung fu. So like there's no like, I don't know. To me, I was like, you couldn't have made an army of, I don't know, Black Widows. Like, I feel like that would have been more effective.
They wouldn't have had the hardware for all of them.
Yeah, that's true. They would. It's AIM. They got a ton of that. My note there was like, the Avengers ? In name only. Like,
I'm kind of surprised we didn't get some kind of witty remark from Steve of like the Avengers in quotation marks, like fuck off.
I got to be honest with you, Steve and Clint get on my fucking nerves in all four of these books, especially Clint near the end. And then starting off Steve, because I'm like, Steve is a grumpy old fucker in this. It gets on my damn nerves. Like, I get his point. Like, I understand his point. But at a certain point, I'm like, bro, like, chill the fuck out and just hear him out.
Yeah, he don't. He does not. On to issue 28 of the New Avengers, You Can't Win, Part 2. So this is going to finish it off. It's the fight continues, and it's Hulk versus Hulk. That's until Reed and Sue have had enough. So, Jeremy, what is your whelming of this issue?
This one, I was just whelmed. I still liked that it had some of the action in it, but it jumped around a lot, kind of hard to follow sometimes, and just really grasp, okay, who's doing what here type stuff. And yeah, it's just, I was just whelmed.
Gotcha. Richard?
I feel like it didn't jump around, but yeah, I was pleasantly whelmed with this. I enjoyed the back and forth of Steve and Reed trying to like outsmart one another, like tactically. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Well, in reading this, continued on with like some of his conversation he was having with Valeria as well. So yeah. I noticed that, but it wasn't nowhere near as heavy. I was whelmed with this as well. Like, the artwork is kind of the same as what we had the last issue, but Beast looks better. And still, like, the fighting and stuff like that, but then you go right back to, like, the status quo of the story, which is, like, a bunch of jibber-jabber talk.
Yeah, I enjoy the jibber-jabber talk. I don't know, like, it can't all just be action, because then there's, like, no story, but...
Right. No, I get you.
Real quick, before we get into the actual story, because it's the first friggin' page. The ship, the AIM ship, not the New Avengers, but, like, Roberto's Avengers.
Uh-huh.
We get a good look of it from the top. I was looking at that. I'm like, that ship's made of Legos. Like, look at it. That, like, yeah. It's got the little, like, Lego pieces at the top. I'm like, that's a Lego ship.
Yeah. You're right. It is.
I'm like, oh my God, he like built that ship out of Legos, took a picture and just like traced it or something.
He's like, guys, I want this, and then just handed it over. My question, because we've talked about Hickman and how he like has these really deep cuts in his stories, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he expects you to know and remember everything that was going on however many years before he was even a writer at Marvel doing some indie bullshit, okay?
I wouldn't go that far, but I get your point.
I need to know where the fuck this Bruce Banner came from that they just drop out of a helicarrier.
Yeah, it's in the previous, I believe it's in the previously on. Yeah, it is, which I know, I don't think you're reading the trade, so I don't think it includes that in there.
Right.
But he... So in the Avengers book, when Hickman was doing that and like the discovery of the incursions, it's the same universe where Thor with two R's, who was unworthy and wielded the hammer. It's the same Avengers. That banner is from that universe. And in that universe, that banner was a psychopath. And the Avengers eventually caught him, lobotomized him. Oh. And then put a like chip inside of him. So like when they lobotomized him, they basically removed his like emotional center of his brain. And that way he basically couldn't get angry and become the Hulk. And then they stuck a chip in there so that they can remotely activate it and like basically have their own Hulk with an on and off switch.
Oh my gosh. That's freaking bananas.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay. Well, I guess they just fucked up all those Avengers from that Earth. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Stole Thor's hammer, stole their Hulk.
Yeah.
Like,
because it was during an incursion, so they eventually killed them and blew up. Yeah. Blew up that Earth.
Well, there you go. There's the explanation.
This is why I didn't really like when Hickman's Avengers was going on, because it turned the Avengers into fucking monsters. They just were killing other planets, and I don't know. It just was kind of depressing and dark.
Okay. I wish we would have gotten to see more of, like, the Hulk fight. It's like we have this cool superhero landing, and then there's them about to, like, clash, and then that's it. And then we're right back to Roberto's talking to Steve, and it's like, what are you doing? Why are you moonlighting us?
No, we get some like some Shang-Chi taking out some Shield agents.
I was gonna say my note here for Shang-Chi was deploy the Shang-Chis. Yeah. And they're just one after another. They're jumping out, going to the helicopter.
How many? How many can he like clone?
He doesn't normally clone. Remember, if you actually, you probably don't remember, but yeah, in one of the previous issues, he went to that land where a seed had been put, and anyway, he used that seed ability to make multiple copies of himself. I don't know how many. I don't think he has the ability to clone. I think he just went and made, like, he went to an area that cloned him, so he made whatever, 1,000. And then I'm going to say 100. We'll just make it a nice 100 because they're on a helicarrier. I don't think they could hold like millions of Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
But I will say this is the most effective use of an army of Shang-Chi, because like if you send Shang-Chi against like the Hulk, he's like, that's it. He's done and dusted. Like there's no winning that. I don't care how many Shang-Chi you throw at him. But taking on all of S.H.I.E.L.D. on a helicarrier, absolutely. Like, he's going to beat the shit out of all those guys.
Yeah. And that's clearly what he did.
Yeah.
Well, what they did, because there's like 70 of them or something jumping out of this thing. But this all takes place on one page, y'all. There's four panels. And one of the four panels is straight up just the one Shang-Chi. And I'm like, really? Like, that's it? That's all we get?
Yep.
And it looks like later on, it looks like their Hulk beat our Hulk's ass.
Yeah.
And catches Steve and Maria as they're like deploying down to Earth from the helicarrier. I thought that was a cool like panel there, him catching the bridge thing. So
yeah, I was like, that's ballsy for Steve to assume they're in like the correct spot for this alternate universe Hulk to catch them. I know they were flying overhead, but like that battle could be raging on. Like, I don't know. I just feel like that's pretty like just assuming like we're directly over Hulk, so he'll catch us.
Well, like, I don't understand his loyalty either. Why would that Hulk be loyal? Because I guess they have the trigger.
Well, that's what like, he talks about, having that remote control. So I'm like, do you just tell him, like, hey, catch us? Like,
yeah, he probably does. I just assumed where he was, like, the way the panel is drawn, he is, like, on top of our Hulk, like, main 616 Hulk. And it looks like as he was beating the shit out of that Hulk, he just, like, reaches up and catches Steve and them as they, like, fall. But
yeah,
it didn't look like he, like, ran to a different area, leaped in the air and caught them kind of thing. It just looks like they happened to time it just to be directly over this Hulk.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And I don't know. It was just a weird like escape plan by this Steve, which, by the way, this Steve is not a super soldier. He had it sucked out of him. That's why he's an old man here. So like, I know it shows him looking very fit, but like his bones would shatter from that impact.
Well, and if you turn to the next page, there's a panel down there at the bottom. He looks very much like Old Man Bullseye. And I'm like, this Steve is unhinged, like really bad unhinged.
Yeah. No, I cannot stand Steve in this. It annoys the absolute shit out of me. There was a moment in this issue, though, where he said a line that made me chuckle, where he's like, Maria, I'm beginning to think the greatest threat the Avengers has ever faced is heroes who love to hear themselves talk.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
I will say, when Steve calls on, like, his Avengers, I'm like, oh, this here is a way more impressive Avengers team.
Yeah.
You've got probably the least impressive of the bunch, Sam Wilson, Captain America. Okay, and I'm not trying to dog Sam Wilson here. I actually really like Sam Wilson. But when you compare him to Luke Cage, maybe White Tiger is the least impressive. Maybe
I was going to say White Tiger in my opinion.
Maybe White Tiger. But neither one of them, like, they may be about equal. Because it's like not like either one of them have Super Soldier Serum or anything like that. So
she's got that
White Tiger
gym.
At least has an amulet.
Yeah, I was about to say, she's got the gem that gives her, like, tiger powers or something. So
yeah. She-Hulk, fucking Spider-Man, Blue Marvel, who is OP as fuck.
Thank you. Yeah, I was my note there was like, oh shit, and then I was like, oh, you could have just had Blue Marvel as backup and call it a day. You didn't need any of these other people. Like, you could have just had Blue Marvel and been like, all right, retreat, everyone retreat, we're done here.
Right. Power Man and then Spectrum, aka Monica Rambeau, aka Ms. Marvel, aka Photon, aka fucking whatever else.
Aka Captain Marvel in that other alternate universe in the movies.
Well, she was actually Captain Marvel in Marvel Comics before Carol was ever fucking Captain Marvel.
I'm just referring to whatever the one, the Multiverse of Madness, where she dies.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I was just like, oh, well, Steve, you've got a way better Avengers team than Roberto does. This is way more impressive, right? Bro.
Yeah, no, I was like, damn. Like, though I'm glad you brought this up, because, like, it really irritates me when the battle rages on now at this point. The very next page, double page splash, we see everybody's fighting everybody. And I was like, ain't no way. So at one point we see Cannonball. I don't know if you're looking. Cannonball has taken out Spectrum and Blue Marvel. And I'm like, ain't no way Cannonball is taking out either one of those characters.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree.
There was another one where I think it's Black Panther and White Tiger are fighting. And I was just like, Black Panther's going to mop the floor with White Tiger.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's the next page in the bottom panel.
Yeah. And then if back to that other page, though, the other funny thing is what Reed is doing to Clint. He's just like, get out of here, the worst Avenger. Like, he's just like, he's just stretched his hand and he's like pushing him aside. Like, just get out of here, Clint. Nobody likes you.
Well, and then they got Shang-Chi's, and I say that plural because there's three of the fuckers here.
Yeah.
They're taking on the one Steve, and I'm like, okay, that's a pretty good team up there. Like, I like that. How they
congratulations,
that
Shang-Chi, you beat up an old man.
Yeah. Maybe I just don't really appreciate Captain Britain, but he's taking on Captain Marvel, and I'm like, that's kind of an unfair advantage right there, because Captain Marvel, like you were talking about earlier, like she's pretty stout. So
yeah, she is. Don't be gross, Tammy.
I think Captain Britain could take on Captain Marvel, but I think at the end of the day, Captain Marvel would beat the shit out of him. I don't know. That would be a cool fight to see.
Oh, well, that's what happened here, because he's laying with his head back. Like, he's out for the count.
Yeah.
And then we get the surprise at the end where Sue just, like, she's like, okay, I'm done. And she puts a force field around everybody.
Yeah.
Except for old Reed. And now they want to start talking. And we pull out Medusa, and we pull out Namor, and Black Bolt. Your favorites.
I know. I literally, my note there was, ugh, the Inhumans. And Namor.
Poor Namor.
Poor nothing. he's a bitch.
It's one of those, like, you think, like, why didn't we start with that? Whenever she just locks everybody up. I'm like,
just lock everybody up.
I mean, Reed literally tells you that you shouldn't lead with that, though. Like, that's literally what he talks about in that whole note to Valeria about how, like, don't show your enemy what you want. That way you can, like, manipulate the battlefield and then you reveal your hand kind of thing.
Wait, did she lock up both Hulks?
Yeah. Which I had beef with that because I was like, she has gone up against the Hulk in the past and put a force field over him and it like holds him for a little while. And then, you know, he breaks out. So I was like, this would not hold that. I don't know which Hulk is which in this shot here, but like, this would not hold that Hulk.
Yeah.
Well, it makes me question like Captain Marvel, Blue Marvel. And I think the most ridiculous one out of all of this is you've got Clint over here by Black Panther. And he's like, bow drawn and everything, and I'm like, bro.
Yeah.
It's going like ding off, like bounce around in there.
Right.
They shoot himself.
He's like, I'm gonna shoot my way out with a trick arrow.
Asshole.
He's like, I'm just gonna pose for the photo that nobody is taking, apparently.
Superhero pose. Yes. That's
cool. Real quick, it's not in this panel, it's up. I'm specifically made a note, the face that they drew for Captain America looks so stupid. It's the page right before the reveal of his like secret Avengers, where it's got, you know, Luke Cage and all that. It's the very last panel of the previous page of that reveal of Luke Cage and everybody.
Yeah,
that the bullseye one.
Yeah, okay, that's the one you're talking about with the bull. Like
that, that's the.
That looks so. I was like, the pencilers like for this.
Joker-esque to me.
Yeah. The pencilers for this are Mike Diodato and Mike Perkins. And I was like, y'all, what is this? Yeah. Like, what? Yeah. What is this?
Yeah. No, it's bad. Like, it's. And then Beast looks rough on that same page as well. Not gorilla rough. But just like his face looks kind of fucked up. And so, yeah. Avengers 40, We Three Kings. The Illuminati set up a trap for the Cabal. That's it. That's the whole. That's what happened. So, Jeremy, what's your whelming of this issue?
This one, I'm kind of sticking around the same, the whelmed, the pleasantly whelmed. This one was okay. It was just kind of a lot of just talking, not really a whole lot happening in it. I mean, I get that they were trying to set the trap and stuff like that. But then you also have that whole backstory of T'Challa. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is getting a little much here or whatever. But okay.
Well, all right.
Yeah. Just whelmed to pleasantly whelmed, I guess, still.
Richard?
I wrote I was pleasantly whelmed with this. This is my favorite issue in this run so far, and it's mostly because of what T'Challa does at the end of it.
I have been waiting.
I knew this was coming, and I've been waiting so long for us to finally get to this issue, because in my opinion, I love this issue. It's just badass as hell to me.
Yeah.
I'll go along with the same kind of thing, where this issue has some of the better dialogue out of any of the, and like the and it's with the interactions with certain characters, and T'Challa is the main one. And I think the art in this is probably the best art out of all the issues in these four that we've been reading. And I also like how these three issues, it's almost like back to back to back. And I like that, because before we were kind of spread apart between the two books, like different multiverses shit, and not even like in a good way. So I like that we're kind of like getting a consistent story now as we're reading into these issues.
Yeah. All the like stories are finally converging into one kind of singular story now.
So as everybody's locked up still in their like holding cells from Sue, we actually finally get to start talking about, you know, Reed and Steve figuring out, like coming to terms with each other and figuring everything out. They bring Namor out, and he's like, I'll confess to my crimes. I'll go up against the jury, blah, 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 all this jazz. And other Illuminati members are agreeing to the same thing. And we get to my favorite of all these. And that's where Steve is talking to T'Challa. And he's like, and you, T'Challa, you'll turn yourself in? And he responds with, absolutely not. Yeah. And I was like, yes, T'Challa, my guy.
Yeah. Steve is like a dog with a bone, man. It is crazy to me. Because like his whole, again, I want to point out that the Illuminati conspired, found out about the incursions, and started blowing up planets. And Steve was against it, and they wiped his mind. And then I forget what exactly happens, but he gets his memory back, and then he's all like, you're going to jail. And he just keeps reiterating that. And I'm like, they're talking about, like, we're going to have a trial and all this stuff. And I'm like, with who? Like, our world? Like, the world that they should, in other words, the people that they committed the crime to are gone. They're dead. So, like, I don't quite understand what Steve's point is. I agree, morally, it's wrong. And I like how Namor is like, it had to be done. Was it right? No, but it had to be done. And I was like, okay, I kind of agree with Namor here. Like, Steve, calm the fuck down.
Jeremy, there is absolutely no way that one line sways Richard at all. Like, that's...
And there was just so many moments where I was like, can everyone just be cool? Can we just be cool for a minute? Like, it was just crazy to me. But my favorite is when Namor comes off the ship right at the start. So we get a little setup of the King's Blade, which I wrote Chekhov's King's Blade. And Namor comes trotting down the platform, and you can just tell, like, Black Panther can't really emote in that mask, but you can just tell he's like, that motherfucker. Yeah. And I literally wrote,
oh, shit, here we go again.
I skipped completely over that scene, but that's another one of those dialogue parts where Reed is looking at him. He's like, do you trust me? Question mark. And in my notes, it was Black Panther, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
And then Reed's like, trust me. Mm-hmm. Like,
there's a moment in this book where Roberto is kind of like being Roberto, where he's like being a smart ass and he's talking with all this stuff. And they mention how Beast, they're like, you know what, I liked you when you were a cat. And I was like, that's an L take, Roberto. That's an absolute L take. That is 100% the writer, so in this case Hickman, putting a dig at the comic book readers, because so many people hated Cat Beast. So I think that was just kind of like a little like poking fun at the readers for the sake of like a joke, like a meta joke.
I thought, like, especially on that page, the panel work and the way the dialogue flow and the way they did the pictures, I thought was fantastic, because you got Roberto standing there and he goes, Sam, did the good Professor McCoy really just double agent us? Say it isn't so.
Yeah, right.
And then you see him and he's like looking down at his chest and pointing at it. He's like, it hurts, sir, right here. That's like one of the best panels of the whole fucking book, honestly.
Yeah, this shout out. This is Stefano Caselli. This is the penciler, inker, and colorist. No, excuse me. The colorist is Frank Martin Jr., but the penciler and inker are Stefano. And yeah, he did awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Beast looks like Beast in this issue as well. Like, it's really good work.
Mm-hmm.
I glanced by it when you were talking about it earlier and forgot to mention it, but you were saying that, you know, Steve has lost his memory, and back to that whole like Jonathan Hickman thing. I'm sure it was on a previously on that, like, the trades just are not putting in there. And I feel that's like a really bad.
Yeah, it is.
Like, they should have him in there. I don't understand why they don't.
It is detrimental.
This moment.
It is detrimental. It is imperative to the story that you should have at least done a flashback or a previously on, like kind of like how they did the flashback with the King's Blade, though that didn't actually happen in a like comic. They're just flashing back to set up that blade. But anyway, I don't even think it's on the previously on. I don't think them erasing his memory. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, wow.
They're showing T'Challa speaking with his father, and then it's showing the Cabal killing that one universe with the X-Men, because we see the Blob lying there dead, and then we see from one of the previous issues that we read where Namor meets with Doom and is telling him how the Cabal is out of control, and then it shows another panel of the fight that we just read last issue, and then there's two more panels of Sue putting everybody in the little invisible box, and then Namor and Black Bolt coming down the platform.
Yeah, I got all that. But they need to do something about this whole, like, Steve loses, because you have this whole panel of Steve saying, I don't want to hear it. I, once again, do not need reminding just how clever all of you are and how efficient and inventive you can be given the right situation. And then we zone in on his face, and he's really mad and pissed off at this point. And it says, I remember perfectly fine. And it's like, that's a whole thing going towards that storyline of his memory being gone. And it's like, that dig means dick now, because nobody knows.
Well, it also could just be because he's old. You could take it as like, my memory's fine. I know who you are, Billy.
The whole plan that the Illuminati has is they're going to take this shield that Roberto was working on that was going to help, like, keep planets from colliding and making and causing an incursion. And it's not power enough for two planets, though. So they're going to use it to trap the Cabal on a map. Was it map? I feel like Dora the Explorer now. Where's the map? Anyways, it's a planet that has no life on it at all.
Oh, you're talking about the map makers.
Map maker world, son of a bitch. Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah, they're also called the, oh boy, it's Latin, so bear with me here. Sidera Maris, which is apparently Hickman likes doing Latin words that also have double meaning. Apparently, I looked it up. It says the stars of the sea is what it means. Just thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So this planet has nobody on it, so they can trap the Cabal there. They can blow the planet up, and that way nobody dies except for the Cabal that apparently Steve's okay with killing them. And and then they keep an incursion from happening. However, T'Challa has got other plans, and he's taking this knife that we sit there and we see the entire time throughout the story, and he sets old Namor up, because that was their end with the Cabal and getting them there to that planet. And he proceeds to stab Namor in the chest with it, and then has Black Bolt join him and yell him off the platform. And so, yeah, it was a pretty badass moment. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Well, I love the whole setup of, like, Shuri giving it to him. And she's like, take back our father's blade. Put it where it belongs, brother. And then he pulls that knife out. And Namor's like, what are you going to do with that blade? And he's like, I'm going to put it where it belongs. And then just buries it into his fucking chest. And then Black Bolt shows up and he says, very quietly, he's like, when you see my brother Maximus, bid him. And then his final words are, he shouts, farewell. And Namor is very durable. We've seen that both in the movie and now you've seen it in the comic book. So it didn't, like, you know, atomize him, but it did hurt the fuck out of him. And then, of course, he falls all the way down and lands on the ground.
I did like that there at the end, like, where T'Challa was like, well, Black Bolt was asking him, like, hey, let's go. Like, why aren't we leaving? And T'Challa went, kind of was like, no, we're taking our time. So then he knows that it was me that did this. He knows that it was me that finished him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and let's be clear. Black Bolt didn't say shit to Black Panther, because if he did,
well, yeah,
it would knock Black Panther off there too. Yeah.
He's like going like, "What are we waiting on here? Like, what are we doing?" Yeah. And
the panel work is fucking fantastic, because his body language is very much animated of like, "What are we doing?"
Yeah,
and but they also got his eyes in there as well, even though it's such a small panel. Like, they got his eyes kind of like big, like, "Bruh." So. Yeah. It's so good.
I didn't notice that, but yeah, that is funny. And then I love the shot of Namor being like, "Motherfucker!" It's like the planet just blows up. I will say it's such a badass moment, and it's such a like, don't fuck with T'Challa, but it's so undercut with him like hanging on to Black Bolt as they're like flying away. I was like, y'all couldn't give him like a little ship, like a little, like whatever kind of ship that he's like flying in. Like, he has to be hanging on to like the back of Black Bolt, like being hurled across space or whatever.
It's better than him like Jack Blacking it from Minecraft on top of Jason Momoa, like straddling him and arms out.
I gotta be honest with you, it's almost the same. It's almost the same energy. Like, It just undercuts this huge, like, badass moment with T'Challa. And I was just like, man, why did they have to show that?
Yeah, but he gets back and the everybody's like, well, where's Namor? And he's like, oh, he's not coming. So yeah. I'm like, yes, T'Challa, you're awesome.
He didn't make it.
Wasn't working out. I had to let him go.
I will say, it says, so ends the Cabal. And I was like, or does it?
Right. Right. I didn't even notice that. I just kind of went because I was like, I just thought it was something else. But yeah. Does it. On to the last one of the evening. New Avengers 29, entitled 8 months Later. The Illuminati and S.H.I.E.L.D. have a powwow. Jeremy, what's your whelming?
This one, I was just whelmed. Not even like to pleasantly well. I don't know. It just wasn't. It was more talkative, just kind of explaining things more. I get like we're trying to understand Reed more, like what he's been they've been dealing with, but like it still didn't give any like real clear answers what all he's been going through. And then you got Doom and what's his face doing stuff in there that you have no idea really what's going on. So like I don't know. It was a. I just whelmed with this one.
All right, Richard.
I wrote I was whelmed as well. It was mostly because I was really fucking annoyed with Hawkeye and Steve. This is the one that I was like, fuck y'all, man.
I am going to go with underwhelmed by this issue. I think story-wise, I think it had its purpose, and I wasn't against that. Like, this was... filler is the wrong word, because it had a lot of vital information, I believe, for what's coming up in the story.
Yeah, this is the exposition dump.
Yeah. However, the artwork is so fucking atrocious in this issue that I was like, this is... no. Get this the fuck out of here. And I'm with Jeremy. Some of this shit, it's like you're expected to know, but there's no reason at all I should know any of this shit. And there's no explanation.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The art, to me, it is bad. It is not as bad as those like the first two. The, like, you can't win or whatever, part one and part two. I think that one's way worse. But this one is bad. I'm not saying that this one is good by any means.
Yeah.
But it was very like, especially the last issue, you were like, oh man, this is nice. And then you go to this one, you're like, oh God, what is wrong with Reed's face and hair?
Everybody has like Ron Perlman's jaw. And then if they don't have that, they look old as fuck. I'm talking like Steve Rogers old. Like Roberto, he looks like he's the same age as Steve. And so does T'Challa. Like, they just look like they have aged, like, by 25 years between two issues. And on top of that, you got Carol Danvers in here, and she has got Aerosmith dude looks like a lady playing as everywhere she goes.
She looks like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes. She is. I was like, man, that's terrible.
That is so, it's so, yeah. Carol is probably the worst.
Yeah.
Carol is probably the worst.
I don't know. Something about the way they draw Reed bugs the shit out of me. I think he looks the worst, yeah. But.
That jaw is just, and chin, it's just like, ah. It's bad. It's real bad. I think the biggest information is that, like, the multiverse is down to, like, 22 universes left. That's it.
Yeah.
And so we've gone from, like, all these thousands or whatever to just the 22. I think that was one of the bigger things of this issue. I don't understand the whole Doom and Molecule Man scene. I don't know what they found. I like the line of it, it's a very Doom line, but it's,
yeah,
you know, Molecule Man's there and he's like, do you know what this is, Victor? And Victor comes back with, I do. Everyone has limits. Everyone but Doom. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Yes. But yeah, I have no idea what that is or why it matters.
Yeah, we'll see that. That gets answered.
I was gonna say, he doesn't want to spoil it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Figured at some point it was going to, but
yeah. We're coming to it soon. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I loved that page. It's the second page with there's one, two, there's only three pages with Doom and Molecule Man. It's the third page where it's just like panel, 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 panel. I loved the way they did that. I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it's different. I will say that. It's different. There's a nice little dialogue here, which I think kind of hints towards what you're talking about as far as like Hawkeye's an ass, and so is Steve. And you've got Hawkeye sitting there saying, what else were you doing all these months when the Cabal was buying you time with wholesale slaughter if you weren't figuring that out? And he's talking to Reed. And T'Challa answers, running from our friends. And then Clint pipes back with, yeah, we all feel just terrible about that. It's like, geez, Clint, what an asshole.
I know. Well, like, I was like, that note for that was, fuck off, Hawkeye. First off, no one likes you. Secondly, your origin was you were a bad guy for the Avengers and you killed people too. So stop with this fucking holier than thou like attitude that you have. Like, fuck off, Clint. Like, that's literally what I would tell him.
That's pretty great. We get a rundown of like all the things that they were trying to do, like create a planet with the cosmic cube so that they can move people there. Fantastic Four, First Step style. They've got Galactus talking to the Celestials, and then all of a sudden they're just like not answering their phone calls anymore. Yeah.
They put that shit on red. Like they're like, nope, not our problem.
They've done some other stuff with other worlds. And then we get to this point where it looks like Franklin maybe trying to like create a universe.
Yeah, I think
that's what that dies.
I don't think he dies. I can't remember. I meant to look this up. I'm like, does he die here? I don't think he dies. I think he gets hurt, but maybe he did die. I apologize. But I did not look this up.
No, I didn't either. But like, I'm just like, that's, we shouldn't have to, I think is what I'm getting at.
Mm.
Especially for like, and maybe there was a previous thing on in the single issues or something. But like, especially if you're doing a trade, like there should be some kind of letting you know what's up. You get a panel of Reed and he's all like wide eyed. And then you see Franklin struggling to like build something out of just like power, it looks like. And a panel of Reed holding Franklin, and then the next panel, our costs were much, much higher.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes it leads you to believe that Franklin is dead.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's why I was like, I think he did die, but I know the reason why I'm confused is, spoilers, he's going to be in Secret Wars. So I was like, Maybe he doesn't die here. I don't remember.
Yeah, well, and then I'm like, okay, we've been talking to Valeria, but we've not talked to Franklin at all.
Mm-hmm.
In any of this, so I was looking back at that as well. But all that comes to a stop because we get a phone call from Hank Pym, and he has found the Beyonders. So
that was so anticlimactic, that reveal. Like, they the thing opens up. They're like, we sent an agent out to find who was behind this. And they're like, and he's finally come back. And they're like, oh, who did they send? And then, like, the portal opens up, and out steps Hank Pym in the yellow jacket, looking as crazy as fucking ever. And I was like, my literal note was, Hank Pym, not would have been my first choice to go out and see who did it. Like,
well, let's see. His background, especially his yellow jacket, the Pym particles fucked with his brain so much that he wound up catching an abuse charge against his wife, Janet Van Dyne. Like, this is not the most stable guy.
Yeah, that's my point. Is like, not right, my exactly. not my yeah. first choice of, like, sending someone out on a very important mission.
What's even more is Reed's response to this. Tony and I sent someone out into the multiverse to find answers almost 8 months ago. He was only supposed to be gone a short while, weeks, so I assumed he was lost forever.
Yeah, that is funny. That is very, like, Reed's like, ah, well, sucks to suck.
One pawn down.
Guess we lost Hank. One less scientist. Oh, well.
Janet will be happy about this.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. They call them the Ivory Kings. I assume that's their other name as the Beyonders. I've never heard them referred to as the Ivory Kings.
You don't remember, but Black Swan refers to them as the Ivory Kings. And I think she was mentioning that in our last part three when we were reading those last four issues. And
got you.
But yeah, it's just Hickman is just burying the lead so he can reveal that, oh, the Ivory Kings are in fact the Beyonders, which at this point, I'm pretty sure there wasn't multiple Beyonders. There was only one singular Beyonder. And now they're establishing that there are multiple Beyonders. And also, they look like weird aliens. They don't look like, I don't know, some sort of like 80s metal guy. Like, I don't know. He just looks weird in the old original. But also, this is signaling. I don't know if they had released the info yet of, like, Secret Wars is coming. But this is definitely cluing you in. If a Beyonder is here, Secret Wars is going to follow. Like, a secret war is going to follow.
I got you. Yeah, I think, like, in the original Secret Wars, like, he really didn't have, like, a human form until, like, later on into the series.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what his, like, what his original form was. So, anyways, yeah, I was like, okay, cool. Ivory Kings. Hank Pym's back. Hooray!
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, the big reveal, I was like, okay, cool. So we finally, I was wanting to kind of spoil who the Ivory Towers were the last time we read our other four issues. Who the Ivory Kings were. But anyway, I'm glad that this is finally revealed. Now I'm hoping the next couple of issues we read will have the reveal of who this Rabum Allah is.
Yeah, because they did mention that in this issue where they're like looking for Rabum Allah. Yeah. Did you find Rabum Allah?
Yeah.
So,
which I thought was, honestly, this was dumb. All this stuff was just like, this shit is stupid. I remember when reading it, I was like, all this shit is stupid. These weird names that Hickman is giving them, and then it's revealed it's like so and so, and it's usually someone we know. It's like, okay, so you just created a made-up name just to hide who it was, so to have this big reveal later on in the story, and I was just like, this is dumb.
Yeah. By the way, you're right, Richard. New Avengers number 30 is when it was revealed the Beyonders were labeled as a race.
Okay. Well, it used to be, it was, I remember back in the day, the Beyonder was thought to be, like, the one above all, Like, he was supposed to be, like, the god of the Marvel Universe.
Mm.
But then it was revealed, no, he isn't. There's a different hierarchy. And then the one above all is, in fact, like, the god of the Marvel Universe, which is usually portrayed by either, he either looks like Stan Lee or Jack Kirby.
Mm.
And anyway, I'm trying to remember. I can't remember. But he mostly looks like a guy. They retcon it where he eventually looks like a more handsome looking guy in like a white suit. But like mm-hmm. original Recipe Beyonder looked crazy. Like when I say crazy, he looked like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of someone who he looked like. He looked like Ziggy Stardust or something. Like he looked crazy to me, like an 80s metal band or something.
Yeah.
And anyway, and then now they just make him aliens. And I don't know. It was kind of a boring redesign for the Beyonders, in my opinion.
I got you. That's funny.
Cool.
Well, I got nothing else for this issue, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of done. My time has run out.
Cool. Well, y'all join us next week as we take on Tom King's Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow in preparation for the movie that's coming out the next weekend.
Yay. Excited. I'm so excited. I'm super excited. I think Michael's more.
I've read it all. I finished it this past weekend. So I am ahead of the game. I've read it all. All I gotta do is go through and make my notes now and then talk with y'all. So, and I'm gonna leave it at that. So if you wanna find out what I truly think and feel, come back next week. Otherwise, in the meantime, Jeremy, where can they find you at?
They can find me on Twitch under the handle NightFuryGTO. That's Night with a K. And you can find me here.
Awesome. Richard?
If you want to contact me directly, I have an X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram, a Blue Skies, and a Threads. My handle is Night Curry, Night like day and night, and Curry with a K. If you want to contact us directly, we have a Gmail. Our Gmail is comicallycomicspodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to check us out on YouTube, possibly TikTok, we'll see, and Instagram, you can check us out under the name Comically Comics Podcast. And if you want to check us out on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, you can check us out under the name Comically Comics with an X.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram, eBay, and Shortbox22_comics. You can also find me on YouTube at 22comics. Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did making it. Well, all being said, say goodbye, Jeremy.
Bye, Jeremy.
Goodbye, Jeremy. Goodbye.